And I think it's a really important art to do because less than 1% of our population will ever serve in the military. And so that means that, you know, sometimes, you know, we're very proud of our service, but there's a lot of people that this is foreign territory to them. So it's really important that we do what we can to make it more accessible for them and make sure that they're understanding the strategies and the military culture, you know, through the through meeting people like us versus the lens of the movies, because sometimes the movies, you know, aren't always accurate.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Military Creator Con series. I hope you are doing well from wherever you're listening from. Join us April 16th to the 18th in Arlington, Texas for the Military Creator Con event, where we bring some of the best creators that the veteran community has to offer all in one place to learn how to be a creator, what the market is doing for creators, and the best practices. Today, I am joined with Lee Pepper. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sean. So great to be here. I'm coming at you from downtown Nashville, so hopefully none of the bachelorette parties or the woo-ha girls, as we call them, go by the window.
Love that. Love that. Nashville is an absolute amazing place. We will be there, or myself and my family will be there August. So we'll have to connect to MCC and see if we can connect. It's either June or August, one of the two. We'll figure it out. But
excellent.
Wanted to welcome you to the show and welcome you to the Military CreatorCon event as a speaker. Lee Pepper has leveraged his service in the United States Army and his experience as a staff member on Ross Perot's presidential campaigns into building great teams that solve technology challenges and grow market share. During his tenure as chief marketing officer at Foundations Recovery Network, the company grew shareholder value 60x, culminating in its acquisition for $350 million. Lee also built the marketing teams for Specialty Care and Meadows Behavioral Healthcare. He resides in Tennessee, where he writes and consults on marketing, leadership, and admissions for healthcare clients. His book is called Never Outmatched: Military Strategies to Lead, Innovate, and Win in the Modern Marketing Battlefield. It is available everywhere. He is also one of TEDx speakers. So I've done three myself. So welcome to the club. And what I want to know first is, how did you get into marketing?
Well, it was interesting, you know, Sean. I got into marketing when I was hired as the first chief information officer for Foundations Recovery Network. And Foundations, this is back in 2008. Foundations was a small behavioral health provider, drug and alcohol and trauma treatment. And they had just gotten some private equity sponsorship. So they were filling out their C-suite. And so I had been working for Perot Systems for many years, but I had been on different healthcare accounts and I was working on some of the early web development teams. So I took on that role as their CIO, but I was more interested because back then the CIOs and the CTOs controlled the websites. And that's where I had kind of been positioning my career. So I still had to do the servers, the printers, you know, and the networks and the data security, but I was really more interested in what was going on with social media and with web development, especially marketing. And so that's how I then, after a year, they said, Lee, you know, most of our leads are coming from the internet. Why don't you just be our chief marketing officer? And so that's what I've been doing, you know, the last 17 years.
Wow. When did you join the military and what branch?
So I enlisted in the Army when I was 19 years old. I took a year away from college. I'm a proud Tennessee volunteer. And I enlisted as a 76 Yankee supply clerk. I think they've changed that now to the 95 series.
Yeah.
I did basic and AIT at Fort Jackson. Then I got selected to go to OCS. Then I was commissioned and then went to armor school in Fort Knox.
Wow. So what did you, retire or did you just?
No, I was in, eight years, mainly in the reserves. Okay. And I got out in 1996. Okay. And,
oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's funny, I've got a long history with the military because my dad was 26 years career Army. So we moved around quite a bit. And now I'm proud to say my youngest son is in the Army. In fact, he's just completing his first week of airborne school this week. So he's down in Fort Benning.
Okay. Okay. Very, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, we're career Air Force. My brother-in-law was Marine. My dad, Air Force. And both of my grandfathers were in the Korean War in the Army. So we come from a kind of a long line. My aunt was in the Navy, you know. So we come from a long line of military family and veterans and all that. So you get into marketing and you're working on the outside, transitioning from military to civilian, which wasn't talked about and highlighted a lot back in the 90s. Did you struggle at all? What are some of the things that you did to make sure that you transitioned properly?
I was fortunate that, you know, my first job when I got out of college was working for Ross Perot. And, you know, Ross was a very supportive of the military. You know, he was a naval Annapolis grad himself. And his first company, EDS, and then where I worked at Pro Systems, were just full of veterans. So for me, the transition was pretty seamless because I was going into an area that really felt like family and home. It was pretty easy for me. And then, you know, years later, as I moved back to Nashville, he bought a company here and reloaded me back here. I started volunteering with our Veterans Treatment Court. So my father-in-law was in the Navy, and he was one of the first mentors that helped found the Veterans Treatment Court in our county here near Nashville. And that's where I really started, as a mentor, started seeing the struggles that so many vets had because they were having problems. They were getting out and then getting into different issues and problems. And a lot of it seemed to stem from, we do a great job recruiting, we don't do a great job of exiting people out of the service.
Wow. Well, a lot of people don't have that same fortunate circumstance. And so this is why we do what we do. And, you know, you've written a book and you're speaking and you're doing the work, and I just applaud you.
Well, thank you.
I speak a lot.
Well, I was going to say, Sean, you know, one of the things that I think that I wanted to get this book out was because, you know, when I first started in a leadership role working as a CIO and a CMO, I started applying some of these strategies that I learned during my military service. And what was interesting was these were things that were kind of innate to me. Maybe I grew up with them. I learned them obviously during my service. And a lot of people were just surprised. They were like, wow, that's really interesting. I'd never heard that. And so that's why I really wanted to write this book, because I feel like a lot of veterans, when we get out, we're thinking about what it was that we specifically did in our service. So, you know, we're thinking about either the weapon system we worked on, we're thinking about, you know, the Jeeps that we may have been a mechanic on, or like for me when I was a supply clerk, you know, what we were doing. And really, I find that most businesses and people that are hiring, they're not as interested in those specific things that you do, but they're interested in these different strategies. They're interested in the leadership. They're interested in the discipline. And I think we have a hard time translating that military service, those strategies, into the mental models that other people who didn't serve can understand. It's almost like, you know, we go in for an interview, it's apples and oranges. We're saying things that that's the only thing we know, but we haven't translated them for the business and the corporate world to understand, like, oh, I see how that fits. So that's why I really wanted to write this book, because, you know, when I go and talk about the anvil and hammer, now all of a sudden I'm transitioning that into a mental model that somebody can see, oh, I see how Lee applied that famous Norman Schwarzkopf strategy during the first Gulf War into a marketing strategy that helped him win.
Right. The military and DOD now has the SkillBridge program, and I SkillBridged out in 2021. So I basically thought, well, I built four businesses while serving on active duty for 20 plus years. And I knew, I'm like, well, I need something to fall back on, not only a retirement and VA disability. I said, I need something to fall back on. So I found a way to get a CDL through SkillBridge. And for 4 months, I worked with ABF Freight. And they put me through CDL school. It was about 6.5 weeks. Then you do 2 more weeks, you know. So now you're 2 months in. Then you go to OJT. Then you do about 2 months of that. You get certified, you know, the whole deal. So now I've got a CDL just in case. Then you have to do a year at the company as an employee, or you have to pay back all that money. That's in the contract, right? So you do a year. Now you've got a year of experience driving, right? So I still have my CDL. I did actually 2 years. There was a bunch of supervisors quit. I was in Salt Lake City. A bunch of supervisors quit, and they're like, oh, crap. And I was like, well, I would like to be a supervisor. I wanted to get hired as a supervisor, but an Air Force E7 or E8 guy took my spot and then quit like 40-something days in. Like, he didn't even last like two months, you know? And I was like, well, I want to be a supervisor. And they're like, okay, well, let's go talk. So I was working like 4 days on, 4 days off. That was like the rotation. I was working 4 days on, 4 days off, which was great. In the 4 days off, I was still traveling around as a John Maxwell leadership speaker, doing all my leadership trainings, doing all my resilience trainings, doing all the things. And then ABF was like, well, let's do some leadership training. So we did that. And they're like, okay, you're hired. So I did that. And then I got hired on, still working 4 days on, 4 days off. And then I eventually, after about 8 or 9 months of that, took over as the city operations supervisor. Like, I was the city planner. I planned every route, every freight, I was in charge of the whole city operation as the dock supervisor. And I eventually quit. So I worked there from end of 2021 to June of 24. So almost 3 years. And I was like, I really want to go do my own thing. Like, I can't get booked for speaking on the weekend. I can't do, like, I'm so relegated into this corporate world. It's like, I don't like it. And so you have to work midnights and you have to do these things. And these, and I was like, I don't really want to do it that way. They're like, no, you will do it this way. And I'm like, I got a military retirement, a VA disability. I don't really need the pay. See ya. And they're like, what? I'm like, I don't need the job. I want to do the job, but I don't need it. I want the creativity. I want to do it in a way that still meets the demand, but I also want to rely on my skill set. And they were like, no, like, see you later. You know, I'm not like, and then they tried to tell me like, well, I mean, in the military, you know, you can't really like do it your way. I'm like, well, if you have really good leaders, they're like, we need to make this happen. And then you have rules of engagement and SOPs and all the things, but you still can have a little bit of creativity to accomplish the mission. And they were like, no, we want it done this way.
Yeah. I found that a lot of people have a misunderstanding about the hierarchical nature of the military. I mean, it is hierarchical, but I always found that, you know, my leaders would give their commanders intent, and that gave us a lot of latitude because, you know, whether you're on the battlefield or in a training exercise, you never know what's coming. So you have to be able to have some freedom of movement. Mm-hmm. And that's where I find that a lot of people miss out on that chance to explain that when they're doing interviews, because that's really what businesses want to understand. I mean, mm-hmm. who, especially in the marketing field, you know, back early on, I mean, who would have foreseen that TikTok was going to jump on the scene? And so if you're not nimble, if you're not able to pivot, part of my TED talk, then you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities. And that's where I think military people miss out on explaining that. They're really, you know, they need to, the businesses want to hear that. They want to know that they give you the order and you go figure it out.
Yep, absolutely. We do have the ROEs and SOPs, and those are like the basic guidelines. But a lot of times you're like, oh crap, this specific thing may not be working. We need to pivot a little bit, like you said. And maybe go around or go under or go over, or, you know, maybe double back, you know, whatever it's going to be. But like, we need to get to where we got to go. Whatever the task is, whatever the job is, whatever the mission is, like, we still need to accomplish this one thing. And so I was like, just give me a couple of days to do it my way. And then they did. And then the numbers were increased. Everything was great. You know, I was like, humans can't be just relegated to like a book or a guide, or it's different. Like, you working on an aircraft and it's like, remove this bolt, remove this tube, remove this thing, like step by step. Like, that's so that people don't get hurt, you know? Uh-huh. But like, if I just have a task to do, you know, you're not going to have a book that says, here's how you sweep a floor. It's known that just go sweep the floor. Like, it's just known that this is what you need to do, and this is the expectation, this is the standard. You know, it doesn't need to be said.
One of the things that I think a lot of companies don't realize, you know, in the private sector is how much training time that we go through in the military. And, you know, that was something that that Mr. Perot understood that. And, you know, at EDS and Pro Systems had amazing training programs. And, you know, I was able to take advantage of everyone that I could make time for. And that's one of the things that in the private sector, I think that sometimes they miss out, that when you hire a veteran, they're very used to training and they're the kind of folks that will set up your training. A lot of times in the private sector, that's one of the first things they want to cut. And then they wonder, you know, 6 months down the road why their team's not performing. So I think that's one of those kind of secret weapons that a lot of people that are interviewing, you know, can learn is to talk about how ingrained training is.
I think about it and I just laugh. I like blew their mind when I made, and I don't remember, I don't know if you remember any of this stuff, but as a supervisor, I created a QRL, which is a quick reference listing. I created a quick reference guide. And I, because the same, like younger supervisors were coming in, I was asking a lot of questions. I'm like, let me write that down. That's really good information to have. Like, let me go ahead and do that. And then one of the guys who'd been there for, you know, 10 years or whatever, he's like, ooh, if you do it this way, oh man, it cuts hours off and it's so good. I'm like, I was never taught that. And like, it's something that you learn. I'm like, I know where this is going. I immediately put it into a quick reference guide, made a quick reference listing, and I put it on their supervisor doc book. That's what I did. Supervisor doc book. And so somebody would have a question and I would point, go over there. It's in the binder. Go. And so they would look at the binder and go, oh, no way. And then all of a sudden you would see other supervisors grabbing the book, opening it up to the page, filling out the form, because you had to fill out these forms every once in a while. Same with the military, right? You only fill out these forms every once in a while. Like, how do you fill this thing out? Instead of asking a bunch of questions, we have a quick reference guide and it tells you how to fill the stuff out. So then they're like, holy crap, like this is amazing. The boss showed the training team that came. The training team asked me about it. They took pictures of everything. I got an email a couple weeks later from like the main headquarter training guy. They were like, holy crap, like, how did you know how to do that? I was like, you don't do anything in the military without some sort of guide, technical order, reference, some kind of tech data that tells you step by step how to do things. It's forms. It's everything is in this book on how to do your job. How we had no guide, I have no idea. And they're like, would you want to create more? I'm like, absolutely. So I was at headquarters and they were like, we need guides for this and this and this. And this. So I started creating like all of these guides, which took me like no time because I was used to doing them and having them and updating them in the Air Force. And then guys are like, oh my gosh, like, this is so amazing. Like, do you know how much time it takes to stop what you're doing? Ask a question, then have the experienced guy teach you what you needed to know. Then for you go to apply it when you could just go to the guide, grab it, do your work, put it away, and then continue on with your next task. I mean, it was super fast. Quick, done, right? They like were mind blown that guides like this even existed.
Well, you know, another thing that I don't know if this is your experience, Sean, but, you know, when growing up, you know, when we would move to different locations, I always felt like the military and then the military, you know, spouses community were always very welcoming. And I find that in different companies that I've worked at, some companies were really good at onboarding people and their families and others were terrible. So I feel like there's a lot that companies can learn from the military by welcoming new soldiers that are, you know, that are PCSing to a new location and getting the whole family involved. And that was something that I always took to my corporate and business careers were, was making sure that we brought everybody along, not just the employee, not just the soldier, but the whole family.
Yep. 100%. So we want to welcome you to MCC speaking at the event. Tell us about your session, the title of the session and what the attendees will learn.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just updating the title for Mara this morning, but it's never outmatched. And in my session, and I'm still kind of waiting to understand, am I going to do 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever it is. But in my session, I lay out three or four of the strategies. In my book, I have 12 strategies that I lay out, but I pick out three or four. And I walk the audience through how I took these military strategies, which will be, which I think most of them in the presence will, they'll get it. They'll understand. They will have heard that, but they'll see how I translated that into a mental model so that civilians could understand it. And I think it's a really important art to do, because less than 1% of our population will ever serve in the military. And so that means that, you know, sometimes, you know, we're very proud of our service, but there's a lot of people that this is foreign territory to them. So it's really important that we do what we can to make it more accessible for them and make sure that they're understanding the strategies and the military culture, you know, through the meeting people like us versus the lens of the movies, because sometimes the movies, you know, aren't always accurate. Oh, yeah. So I hopefully the people, when they come out of my session, that they will be empowered and inspired to think about their service or their loved one's service in new ways that they can now share it and talk about it with their employees, with their staff, or with people they're interviewing with.
Love that. Super pumped to have you join us and talk about your book. Thank you for coming on the Military Creator Con series. And we're really looking forward to learning more about who you are, what you do, and your story at Military Creator Con.
Great. Thanks a lot, Sean. And I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. And now I've got to go Google your TED Talk so I can watch watch your episode. So,
yeah, I've got three. So the two ones that you can find the most, because one of them I did during the pandemic and it was on Zoom, so it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
The first one in 2017 is called Hacking Your Brain for Success. And excellent. I take fact-based positive psychology research studies to show that you can rewire your brain in order for you to achieve success. My third TEDx talk was in 2023, and it's Why Identity Matters and How to Stop Veteran Suicide.
Excellent. Excellent. I'll look forward to finding that. You know, my book came out in September. It's available everywhere, also called Never Outmatched. And then I was fortunate that my TED Talk came out kind of close. It came out in December, and I did mine at TEDx Ocala down in Florida. So I don't know how your experience was, but mine was so good. In fact, now I want to be like you. I want to work on a second talk now.
Yeah, it was so good. My first one was in Wilmington, Delaware. It was so great. My second one was pretty good. And then it got canceled, and then it didn't get canceled, and they said, we're just going to do it on Zoom. And then a third talk was in Michigan, my home state, at Lake Superior State University, at the very tippy top of the UP in Sault Ste. Marie, very cold. It's like lower Canada.
Yeah.
And it was so great. The dean of the students was there. Everybody was like, wow. And I just told them about my suicide story and how we can stop veteran suicide and why identity matters and how much emphasis we put on the American flag on our shoulder, how much we put an emphasis on wearing the uniform, what it means to us, our core values, and how we can translate that into civilian life and what everybody can do to help stop veteran suicide. So I've had an amazing experience, and now I'm a coach for two events and I've emceed a handful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, and I'll tell your audience too, Sean, you know, anybody that wants to connect with me ahead of time, I mean, please, they can look me up on LinkedIn and I'm going to be there for, I think I'm going to be there for sure on Friday and Saturday there in Arlington. So I'll look forward to hanging out and meeting as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise. Lee, thank you so much. And everyone listening, please go subscribe to the YouTube channel, like us, and share all of the posts that we're posting out. We really want to bring in all of the veteran creators together and highlight those who are still serving, even after, into the civilian world, still serving their community, still using those core values that we learned in the military to still live a life of excellence. And so please join us April 16th through the 18th, Arlington, Texas. Go to militarycreatorcon.com. Check us out, and we'll see you on the next episode.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.